All right, welcome back, folks. Second hour of the War Room is on. I'll be joined by Ian Carroll in the third hour. We have a lot to cover in this hour, and I think I'm going to move on to what's happening in Australia, because truly it is emblematic of, I don't even know how to describe. I mean, it's just madness. It's just pure unrelenting madness from these countries, whether it's UK or Germany or Australia. I mean, they are so brainwashed, it's hard to even fathom. I mean, you have two Muslim guys, father and son, apparently radicalized by ISIS, have an ISIS flag in their car, carry out an attack on Bondi Beach. The next day, or a few days later, rather, you have a car full of people arrested, apparently on their way to commit another terrorist attack. Now, those people have been released, and the laws that are Australia is implementing would do absolutely nothing to prevent an attack like this in the future. And in fact, they are using this attack as an excuse to crush the nationalist sentiment that is directly opposed to the, you know, growing threat of Islamic terror. The Australian government can't even say Islamic terror. They can't even act like that's a threat that they have to deal with. They're so hamstrung by their own political correctness that all they can do is go after Nazis. It's like that's the only response they have. Even though Nazis didn't carry out this attack, and Nazi, you know, immigration policy would have prevented it, it doesn't matter. It's like they don't know what else to do. They're like ill-programmed robots that just have one response to whatever input gets put in. Let's go to clip number three here. This is some Australia propaganda being pushed on the populace. Again, Muslims shot Jews. Now let's watch a bunch of Australian celebrities tell white people to shut up. Let's watch.
Enough.
No more division. No more hate.
No more racism.
No more anti-Semitism.
No more Islamophobia.
This country is built on diversity.
On fairness.
On respect.
Everyone is equal.
Everyone deserves to feel safe.
Hate is where it starts.
Here is where it stops.
It's time to stand up to hate.
Stand up to hate. Okay, great. You did it. Well done. Big swastika there. Time to stand up to hate. No more division. No more Islamophobia. I'm sorry, did an Islamic person not just slaughter 16 people on your beach? Did you not just permanently scar the face of Australia forever? You know, Bondi Beach used to be iconic as a beach. Now it's iconic as the place that a bunch of innocent people were slaughtered by a pair of Islamic radicals. What are you talking about? What do they think they're fighting against? And I gotta say, it must be amazing to be an Islamic radical. I mean, really, it's gotta be the greatest thing ever. You get to attack whoever you want, and then the government punishes your victims. It's amazing. It's a win-win situation. It's actually a message that the Australian government is sending to Islamic radicals. If you attack our people, we will crush our people. All of these so-called racist Islamophobes that are simply Australians that don't want to be murdered, don't want to have their country sold out from under them, they're the ones that are going to be subject to the repression should you go out and kill a bunch of them. That's the message that's being sent. Is not only will you be able to kill some of them, that makes it an effective terrorist attack on its own, they will actually then implement restrictions against your enemies so that all of the white Australians advocating against immigration, advocating against the usurpation of the Australian people by foreigners, they'll actually be punished. They'll actually be silenced, and your side will actually benefit from attacking people of Australia. That's the message is being sent now to the Islamic radicals. It must be amazing. It must really be great. You get to attack, and then your side gets protected. You get to slaughter people, and the people you slaughter get punished. It's really an amazing, you know, signal to be sending to these groups.
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're watching The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Please do share those links. Make sure you're following us on X. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Make sure you're following. I got a couple of messages today from people going, this is the third time I've had to follow you. And I'm constantly watching my follower count go up slowly and then drop down by a couple hundred, then build up slowly, then drop down. So make sure you're following us. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. You can follow Alex at Real Alex Jones. You can follow InfoWars at InfoWars at AJN Live. Just make sure you're following us for updates no matter what happens. And that's the easiest and best way to support us. Just sharing the links helps get the word out and really does help. But we've got other ways to support us. And in fact, we have new products available at thealexjonesstore.com, which you have been waiting for. Our audience has been waiting for this. I know, because it's probably the most requested supplement I get asked about. Turbo Force. People loved Turbo Force for good reason. And there's a reason that energy supplements are so powerful. It's probably like the number one complaint people have. They don't have enough energy. Well, if you're just trying to make up for that by chugging energy drinks, you're really just delaying the inevitable crash. Not with unlimited power from the Alex Jones Store, Alex Jones Naturals. Unlimited power, energy plus focus, blood flow and endurance. Unleash your potential. We got a couple of great flavors. Freedom Mango is this one. Then we have Fruit Punch called Patriot Punch. Unlimited power is the name of the new supplement. And in fact, this stuff is so powerful, we actually had to put warnings. Suggested use is just one scoop daily. And then in big, bold capital letters, do not exceed 2 scoops daily. See, if we were just going for profit, we'd make a much weaker product. And then we'd say, do 3 or 4 scoops a day. And then you'd use it quicker. And then you'd have to buy it. And it would cost us less because, you know, our overhead would be less. We use less powerful, supplementation. But that's not what our focus is here. Our focus is getting you the best product on the market. So that's what we did. Freedom Mango, Patriot Punch. So powerful, we actually have to ask you not to take it all at once, not to chug it all as quickly as you can. It's actually that powerful. You need to take it as directed. There's a month's worth of power in here. And again, I know that Turbo Force was just an incredibly popular product that would sell out immediately. I imagine this stuff will sell out pretty quickly as well. So you're going to want to try it as soon as possible. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate power, energy, and focus. And I keep talking about, you know, New Year's coming up. You're going to need to get the supplementation required to fulfill your resolutions. Well, this is the stuff. This is what you need. This will get you through whatever struggles you have in 2026. Ultimate power, energy, and focus. Really incredible stuff. I'm going to have to try some later this hour. I'm going to have to get a scoop myself because this stuff's brand new. I haven't even had a chance to try it. But as you may know, I'm a regular consumer of our supplements, as are most people at InfoWars. You know, we have we have products all over the place, but specifically in my office, there's this little shelf with all the products, and everybody in the office comes strolling through at least once in the day, picking up, you know, all the supplements they want. A little pick-me-up midway, you know, in the afternoon. We won't sell you things that we don't use ourselves. We don't sell you things that are ineffective, just like we don't tell you things that are untrue or would hurt you. Like, this is so simple. It's so obvious. It's just everybody else is trying to scam everybody. And so it's actually like unique when a place like InfoWars is just straightforward and it's just like, we're going to tell you the truth. And then we ask you to go support us. It really is as simple as that. And if you don't support us, we'll go away. And if that's what you want, don't support us. If you want us to be here, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself some Ultimate Energy. Help yourself and help us and keep us on the air as we continue to be the solid rock in these ever-shifting tides. Like InfoWars, you can look up footage from Alex Jones from the 90s, or you can look up the very first shows I did on American Journal in 2021. We're saying the same stuff that we're saying now because the battle is changed a little bit, but the fundamentals are the same. The people that we're fighting are the same. The trends that we're trying to stand against are the same. So as everybody talks about the MAGA Civil War, Tucker Carlson, Ben Shapiro, why don't you just go with the guys that have proven they have a track record of success, proven that we've been on the money and on the ball on all these different topics that for years and years and years, we were the only ones talking about. I mean, if you look at the new MAGA coalition, it's really the InfoWars, the Alex Jones coalition. When you have RFK Jr. and the anti-vaccine movement combining with the, you know, anti-Islamic, anti-immigration sentiment of the more, you know, establishment MAGA, like, it's InfoWars. We are the ones who have set the trend. We are the ones who have blazed the way and blazed the trail. And we've been dead set on everything. We've been exactly right about everything because we have sort of the truth and the founding fathers as our guiding light. And it's hard to get knocked off course when you have such a solid foundation to pursue. And of course, we understand that everything that's happening in the world, pretty much, it doesn't just happen, right? And that's why I always say, makes you a conspiracy theorist, is the simple understanding that things don't just happen. America didn't just become majority non-white by accident on a whim. You know, like it's sunny one day, it's cloudy the next. Who's, you know, who can say what causes that? Or the dew appears on the grass in the morning. It just happens, you know. Nothing you can really do about it. You just have to, you know, not walk on the grass in your socks like that. You just have to conform to the reality because it just appears. The dew just appears. Well, that's not the case with geopolitical reality. That's not the case with, you know, immigrant populations coming into your country. Like, people make those decisions. These are choices that are being made. This isn't random. This isn't spontaneous. These are the desired outcomes of the planners that put these operations in motion. Once you understand that, you're a conspiracy theorist. And that's the thing to understand. There's a reason why white people have been discriminated against so effectively and brutally. And it has nothing to do with history or slavery or equality at all. So don't fall for that. And when it comes to Australia, it's been made abundantly clear that it doesn't matter, you know, what the reality on the ground is. It doesn't matter who carries out the attack. The people that will be punished for it are the white Australians. And that's just the way it goes. It's again, a decision being made. It's not an accident. It's not spontaneous. It's not based on logic or reason. It's not an inevitable outcome of a series of events. It's actually completely arbitrary and totally nonsensical. But they're doing it anyway, on purpose, because they have designs that are greater than what they're telling you. They don't actually care about, you know, the people of Australia being safe. If that was the case, they'd probably do what Israel did after October 7th. I don't know if you remember this, or hell, what Ukraine did after the invasion of Russia. See, when you actually want to protect your population from, you know, imminent attack, what did Israel do after October 7th? What did Ukraine do after the invasion of Russia? They handed out guns to all of their citizens. That's what you actually do if you want to make your citizenry safer. You arm them. Look it up. Israel was handing out M4s or whatever gun they use by the box load. Everybody in the country has got to stand in line, walk up, grab a gun, go home. That's what you do if you want to protect your people. That's what Australia would be doing if it wanted to protect its people. It's doing the exact opposite. It's actually engaged in another round of massive gun control, gun confiscation, and destruction, even though they have the strictest gun control maybe in the entire world. I mean, the guns hardly exist in Australia after 1996 and a major, you know, shooting massacre then. Now they're doing another buyback, which it's like, okay, the only, yeah, here, this is what you do if you actually want to protect your people. This is actually a country that cares about its own people, is worried about threats from outside. And so what are they doing? Handing out machine guns. That's what a country that really wants to protect its people does. Australia is doing the exact opposite. Let's go to clip number four here. Australian PM Albanese says hundreds of thousands of firearms will be collected and destroyed, obviously all from legal gun owners. And if you're a legal gun owner in Australia, it means really you like don't even have a traffic ticket. Like to get a gun in Australia is extremely hard. So it's those people that have like perfectly clean records and totally complied everything that the Australian government demands. They're the ones that are now being asked to turn in their guns because some random radical immigrants decided to shoot a bunch of people. Here's Albanese.
We expect hundreds of thousands of firearms will be collected and destroyed through this scheme. Consistent with the approach that was taken in 1996, the government is proposing that states and territories will be responsible for the collection, processing and payment to individuals for surrendered firearms. The Australian Federal Police will then be responsible for the destruction of these firearms.
I'm sure that'll work. I'm sure this will work so incredibly well, just like it did back in 1996, right? Yeah, that's not the only restriction they're imposing. We'll get to some more in just a second. But again, you have to ask yourself, are they even capable of dealing with the actual problem? And as far as I can tell, they are incapable of even recognizing or acknowledging it. Let's go now to clip number seven here. Prime Minister, in this same press conference, is asked if radical Islam is the greatest domestic terror threat, and he can't answer. Let's watch.
Well, the assessments are that is one of the issues that we're dealing with. But I want to deal with all of the threats, whether it be extremist perversions of Islam leading to support for the ideology promoted by ISIS, whether it be also concerned about the issue of sovereign citizens killing police in Victoria and Queensland. I'm concerned about neo-Nazis thinking it's okay to march down our streets dressed in black, not worrying about their faces being covered, explicitly promoting that as well. Some of these things are not new. James Salim, National Action Person, tried to kill Eddie Fundy from the African National Congress when I was a student. I was a candidate against that reprehensible fascist at Sydney University in 1983. This has been around a long period of time. There are issues have escalated, and we need to take action against all of them.
See, I think we have an insight into his mentality there. Yeah, it's not 1983 anymore, old man. What are you talking about? Like, I remember in 1983, there was a fascist I was running against in school. So now that we got 16 Australians slaughtered on a beach by a Muslim, all I can think is, this reminds me of Africa. And it's the Nazis that are the problem. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? What are you talking about? So again, he's like, yeah, you know, if it's like a perversion of Islam, right? You can't even say it's Islam. It's like, it's if you take the perverted form of Islam, then that's bad. But, you know, sovereign citizens bad, Nazis walking around in black. I mean, you know, you tell me which is the biggest threat, the mass murderers or the guys walking around in black, okay? I know who I'm scared of. Australia announces gun buyback scheme in the wake of Bondi attack. New South Wales is also effectively banning protests for up to 3 months as the premier links Gaza rallies to Bondi terror attack. New South Wales Premier wants Parliament to grant his government extraordinary powers to effectively ban protests for 3 months, claiming the implications of pro-Palestine rallies could be seen in the Bondi terror attack that killed 15 people. Chris Minns on Friday said when a terrorism designation was in place, the police, with the agreement of the minister, will be able to declare a specific area where public assemblies are restricted for a period of time. This might be in part of the state or all over the state. No public assemblies in designated areas will be able to be authorized, including by a court. They also have apparently denied a request to hold a memorial for the victims of the Bondi Beach shooting near the mosque where the shooter was radicalized. And the official response from the Australian government, when asked by a group, hey, we want to do this memorial and we want to do it near the mosque where the guy was radicalized, they said, no, we can't guarantee you safety. We're not going to give you permits to do that. Because they can't guarantee the safety. Because when it's Muslims who are going to attack people, again, the, I don't know what it is, political correctness, the hypnotism that these people are, the time warp that keeps them stuck in 1983 South Africa, like, these people are morons. I don't know what caused it, but like, you have to understand, at the base of it, at the very core of what's going on here is that the Australian government, just like the UK government, are scared of the Muslims. The Muslims have decided that, you know, they get to commit violence if the government opposes them, and the government is scared to oppose them. They're happy to go after the neo-Nazis because they know the neo-Nazis are going to abide by the law. They know the neo-Nazis are compelled by the virtue of the media landscape to be on their best behavior at all times and never give anybody an excuse to, you know, call them violent. Meanwhile, the Muslims know they can do whatever the hell they want and the government cannot condemn them, cannot oppose them, will not even step in to prevent them committing violence. If you know, it's upholding the Australian character that they're so worried about, then you have to physically intervene to stop the attacks by the Muslims. But the Australians are saying, no, actually, they're going to attack, therefore, we're not going to let you gather. Yeah, this is a video from COVID showing you what the Australian government is capable of. When they want to do something, they are absolutely ruthless, brutal, beyond explanation for people that don't want to be locked away in a COVID camp because of the flu. Or be forced to take a vaccine that they now admit destroys your heart muscle. So it's just the same thing over and over and over. They've wanted these laws since COVID. They've wanted an excuse to crack down on this stuff since the protests during COVID. And now, even though it was a Muslim attacking, they're not going after the Muslims. They're not even, you know, allowing the Australians to protest outside of the mosques, saying basically the Muslims are going to attack you and that's your fault. Australia's reluctance to confront radical Islam may force Jews out. Decisions on policing, prosecutions, and hate speech enforcement are increasingly seen as a test of whether Australia can keep Jewish communities safe. So this is where it gets really crazy. This is where it gets to the point that it's like hard to not recognize what's going on here. Let's go to clip 29 here. Actually, before we do that, let's go to clip 9. Just finish up. This is a quick clip. This is a New South Wales police commissioner, Mal Lanyon. So yesterday, 7 men were arrested in a car on their way to Bondi Beach, apparently. I'd heard they were arrested with weapons in the car. That might not be true, but they've been released now. So it was people had their car rammed by police. They were hauled out, arrested, and they've now been release. So why were they arrested in the first place? Let's go to New South Wales Police Commissioner explaining why they let these guys go.
The information received was that Bondi may have been one of a number of locations that the males were intending to attend, but the reason for attending is unknown. The justification for their ongoing detention no longer exists, subject to a review of evidence. They will continue to be monitored whilst in New South Wales, and we will work closely with our Victorian and Commonwealth law enforcement partners.
All right, so no reason, basically, but they're you know, hamstrung by, you know, these laws that say you can't arrest people, you know, and keep them without a reason. I mean, unless they're like a Nazi, like a white person, then, you know, laws don't count. New South Wales police just rejected our application to hold a vigil for Bondi victims outside Al-Madina Dawa Center, the extremist mosque in Western Sydney that radicalized the Bondi shooter. Police told me on the phone that they could not protect us from the local community if we organized the vigil. So they reject this attempt to gather. So, you know, they say like, oh, we're going to shut down. We're not going to have any protests because, you know, we think the radical Islamists protesting in favor of Gaza led to the Bondi attack. But then they're actually stopping Australians from holding a vigil for the people that were killed because they know that the Muslims will attack them and they don't want to have to defend them. So that's kind of horrifying. Meanwhile, the BAC, the British Australian community, condemns Australians being blamed for an imported crisis imposed upon them. The British Australian community expresses its deepest heartfelt sympathy to all those affected by the tragic massacre that happened on December 14th, 2025 at Bondi Beach in Sydney. At the same time, we insist that the government representatives, new media outlets, ethnic lobbies, and social media commentators refrain from language which defames or transfers blame to the for the event to traditional Anglo-Celtic and European Australians. We say this as articles are appearing all over the legacy media, like a recent one from SBS quoting PM John Howard, who warned that a federal push to tighten gun laws risked being a diversion to countering anti-Semitism by describing the attacks as being motivated by or a consequence of Australian anti-Semitism, or even simply anti-Semitism, is misleading and implies culpability of communities who have no connection with the horrific attack. This is where it gets really crazy. Let's go to clip number 29 here, as we see that while they're doing a gun buyback and they're basically trying to get rid of all guns in Australia owned by private citizens, not so much the case for certain people. Let's watch.
I think there is an argument for the Jewish security, the CSG, to have weapons so that they could respond to serious threats like this.
Yes, I do. Now, CSG have been in discussions with the New South Wales government in the last 24 hours. They're given permission at Jewish places of worship, Jewish schools, to be armed on site, but we're in discussions with them about events, Jewish events in particular. Now, there needs to be what's called a de-escalation protocol. I mean, it's a specific tactical approach, because if there are guns on site and police approach the scene, we need to be in a situation where everybody is safe, the CSG, the Jewish community, members of the public, and police. But I'm confident we can work our way through that.
See, what did I say? If you actually care about a group of people, after an attack, you arm them. You give them guns. So while they are simultaneously demonizing Native Australians, demanding that they take their guns, they're actually making legal loopholes and allowing solely and explicitly Jewish groups to be armed. Anybody see an inconsistency there? Anybody see the setup for a bifurcated population where only certain people are allowed to defend themselves, only certain people are allowed to protect themselves with weaponry, whereas the rest of the population has to be subject to attack, is not allowed to defend themselves, and if they even speak up about it, they'll be arrested on claims of anti-Semitism. Chris Minns, this is the premier of New South Wales, open to arming Jewish security group with links to Israel. A local Jewish security group could soon be allowed to carry weapons in Sydney as the New South Wales government considers options in response to the Bondi massacre last Sunday. The New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, was asked by Sky News reporter on Tuesday if there's an argument for the Jewish security, the CSG, Community Security Group, to have weapons to respond to serious threats, to which Minns replied, yes, I do want that to happen. Okay, so white Australians being disarmed, Jewish Australians being given new rights to own more guns to protect themselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers on it, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
G'day, Australia. Within hours of tragedy, I convened National Cabinet, and together we've identified the real problem. Law-abiding citizens still have too many freedoms. So as of today, we are fixing that. Five new very important restrictions on people who did nothing wrong. Because when evil acts, the good always get punished. It's like banning cars because someone drove drunk. See, that is logic. So we could ask the hard questions about extremism. We could examine our intelligence failures. We could wonder why warning signs were ignored. But that would mean admitting that we failed. So instead, let's blame objects. Objects can't vote. Objects can't call us incompetent. Objects are perfect scapegoats. When extremists chant for violence, we call it peaceful protest. When they burn our flag, we call it expression. When tragedy strikes, we call it a gun problem. That's not cowardice. That is cowardice. The solution? More paperwork. Because criminals famously obey paperwork. Here's what we're not doing. Asking why people become radicalised.
examining which extremist ideologies we've been too scared to confront, admitting that maybe the problem isn't the tools, but the hatred behind them. But here's what we are doing. Press conferences, more press conferences, and inappropriate and tasteless hospital photo ops with wounded heroes. Our poor Blake, shot multiple times, and his reward, having to shake hands with me and the Premier for the cameras. His pain, our photo opportunity. That's democracy. Some would say that we're using this tragedy for political theatre, that we'd rather appear to act than actually act. Well, they're right. But look how busy we appear. Your government acting swiftly on the wrong things since forever. G'day, Australia.
Brilliant. From Rupert underscore Degas on Instagram. Yeah, that's basically it. We've decided the easiest thing to do is to go after the law-abiding citizens who won't try to stop us, won't oppose us in any way, have been conditioned to accept our abuse. They're the easy ones to go after, not those radical Muslims with the weapons. They'll put up a fight. Absolutely incredible stuff. And again, it's worldwide. It's the same in Australia as it is here, as it is in the UK. It's pretty astonishing how long this has gone on. But I think we're getting to the end of the road. I think we're getting into the end of the road in two different ways. For one, their outrages are reaching an absurd level. Things like this. Monsters. This is how the West views white males at the moment. Are parents of young boys prepping them for a society that's positioned against them? Are they aware? White parents, what are you prepping your son for this future for him? And it's from an Australian newspaper. How do we stop this kid from becoming a monster? Call for domestic violence lessons at all schools to address the menace of toxic masculinity. And it's literally just a white boy. Just a white boy, you know? How do we stop this kid from becoming a monster? I don't know. How about you don't abuse him endlessly? Here's an idea. How about you don't condemn him before he's old enough to tie his shoes? How about you don't fill his head with the most vile self-hatred the world has ever seen? I mean, what a despicable thing to say. How do we stop this kid from becoming a monster? Again, would anybody, any other group of people stand for this? Are they going to put a picture of a little Islamic kid? How do we stop this kid from becoming a monster? You put a little Jewish kid? How do we stop this kid from becoming a monster? The hell are you talking about? So, I mean, it's their desperation is leading to a situation that's utterly intolerable. And the people aren't going to stand for. It's completely unfair. It's completely one-sided. And it's completely inverted. White people are the least likely to commit these brutal, horrific attacks. But we are the most likely to be punished for them, regardless of who actually carries them out. And then again, just like you have in Australia, where, I mean, literally, they're like, we're getting rid of all guns. We're doing another big gun buyback program. We're massively restricting gun control, except the Jewish groups will be allowed to arm themselves to an even greater degree. Okay, doesn't seem fair exactly. Same thing's happening in the UK, where a million white girls have been raped by Muslim rape gangs, and any attempt to prevent that, speak out against that, to get justice for that, is met with brutal repression from the UK authorities. The government themselves will step on your throat to silence you if you speak out against it. Meanwhile, schoolgirls are getting armed police escort to Hanukkah parties in the UK. Great. And again, it's not even that that's a bad thing. It's just like, but what about all of the white people? Don't we? So like every single time, white people will be the victim of an attack, and then white people will be punished for it. People that carried out the attack will actually benefit from it. And any concerns that white people have about their own safety, about their own country being taken over, will be treated as vile racism, and you'll be sent to jail for expressing it. Meanwhile, Jewish groups get attacked, immediately get hundreds of thousands of dollars for their own security, immediately get armed guards paid for by the state to escort them where they're going. That's crazy. I mean, just one would be fine or the other would be fine. But to have both of these things happen simultaneously is kind of impossible to ignore. And it's the same thing that is happening in Australia. In fact, part of the article that I didn't get to in the last segment about Chris Minns opening up, you know, even greater gun ownership specifically and exclusively to Jewish groups. The Victorian government has already pledged nearly $1 million to this Jewish group's Victorian chapter in the wake of the Bondi attack. So they got $900,000 grant following the Bondi attack. Now they're going to be allowed to carry guns when the rest of Australia will be prevented from doing so. That seems a little unfair. Again, if it was the other way around, if it was, you know, like, okay, Christians get attacked and Christians get $1 million to boost their security, and then it happens to Jews and the same thing, you know, Jews get the same thing, I got no problem with it. But instead, you get, you know, crushing new, they're like creating new court procedures in UK to more efficiently imprison people for their speech while they're providing police escort to Jews. It's like, well, both of these groups have been victims of crime. Why is one group punished and the other group rewarded? Why is one group's safety seen as paramount and they're getting grants and they're getting special carve-outs and they're getting like special attention from the government? The other side gets literally punished for advocating for themselves. Am I the bad guy for pointing this out? It's infuriating. It really is. So, I mean, yeah, literally a million white girls attacked, totally covered up, totally silenced, totally prevented from speaking out. Now, decades later, they're half-heartedly doing a review of this. Meanwhile, Jewish people get attacked on the other side of the world, and you have armed police escorts for Jewish people in the UK for some reason. Okay. Meanwhile, police make 30 arrests a day for offensive online messages in the UK. Police are making more than 30 arrests a day over offensive posts on social media and other platforms. Thousands of people are being detained or questioned for sending messages that cause, quote, annoyance, inconvenience, or anxiety to others via the internet, telephone, or mail. Custody data obtained by The Times shows that officers are making about 12,000 arrests a year under Section 127 of the Communications Act 2003 and Section 1 of the Malicious Communications Act 1988. The number of arrests made under Section 127 of the Communications Act and the Malicious Communications Act puts them on basically the highest level of for any country for arrest for thought crime. Officers from 37 police forces made 12,183 arrests in 2023, the equivalent of about 33 per day. That marks about a 58% rise in arrests since before the pandemic. In 2019, forces logged just 7,734 detentions. That's all. Oh, only 8,000. Minuscule number. And like the crazy thing is, people will compare the number of people arrested in the UK to like the number of people arrested in Russia and point out that the UK has a massive, like a much, much more massive program to arrest people for their speech than Russia, the dictatorship, does. But that's not even taking into account the populations. It's even worse when you do it per capita. So like UK outdoes Russia in pure numbers. But then when you divide it by the population of the UK versus the population of Russia, they're like 100 times worse than Russia. And they're trying to start World War III to kill you. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So it's becoming intolerable and people are not tolerating it anymore and are actually standing up against what has been just normalized in the Western world of white people not being defended and non-white people having every benefit, every leeway, every excuse made for them. Andre Matthews has been charged with murder in Texas after he reportedly stabbed 16-year-old Andrew Meismer to death at school. Multiple students have reported that Matthews had a long disciplinary history at school, which included prior violent altercations. If you haven't seen the story on CNN or MSNBC because it doesn't fit the narrative. So we can just add this to the list of people this year, young white students murdered by black people for no reason. And after, you know, multiple chances of intervention to prevent this exact occurrence from happening. Now, the kids at this school are actually protesting against the school district, demanding justice and demanding they be protected in their own schools. And really, the most outrageous thing about this is that the school officials are, again, just like Australia, so paralyzed by political correctness that they cannot adequately respond to threats against their students or demands from their own students. So they just ignore them. And it's like, how did we get to this point that you can have a kid murdered in school and the school just acts like nothing happened, because to address what happened would be to admit their own failures and admit their own inadequacy and admit that the desperation to stop the school to prison pipeline means you're leaving violent, dangerous kids in the school with innocent kids who they'll kill. Let's go to clip number one here. These are the students at Ross S. Sterling High School protesting against their school district after the school district allowed one of their fellow students to be murdered and is doing absolutely nothing to address it. Let's watch.
It's been a heartbreaking day watching students from Sterling High School stand out here for hours protesting against their school district and the school district leaders. They say in their minds, Andrew Meismer did not have to die, but now that he is dead, he deserves justice.
Justice for Andrew!
A constant stream of students stood in front of Sterling High School all day, demanding justice for their friend and classmate, Andrew Meismer.
He was a great guy. He didn't deserve this. And the school district is out here. They're not separating these kids that clearly aren't, like, fit to be in a normal classroom environment and are a danger to other students.
Multiple students say Meismer was stabbed on Wednesday in science class after he got in a fight with the other student. But they also say the stabbing suspect has a long disciplinary history at school.
A few teachers were complaining about the student before hand about all the assault charges and knives that he brought on campus, but nothing was ever done about it.
The students told us that despite repeated offenses, the 18-year-old suspected of stabbing Meismer was always allowed to return to school.
My main problem with them is that, you know, it's just business as usual. Even though a child is dead, somebody's child died on their property, and it's like, come take your finals and go to school.
Justice for Andrew!
Students say Andrew Meismer and his family deserve so much more transparency.
I think that it was crazy. I don't think that should ever happen to anybody, no matter what they have done.
The students say they will be back here tomorrow morning once again to protest until their voices are heard. We should note we have repeatedly asked the school district to speak publicly about this because clearly the kids want to hear something. And so far, we have been met with silence.
Like, how do they get away with that? They're not saying anything. They're not addressing the kids' concerns. Fight over $21 vape pen led to Sterling High stabbing, officials say. Matthews had a lengthy disciplinary record at school, including prior incidents with violence, yet was always allowed to return. I mean, the girl, and that was like, you know, all of the assaults and bringing knives to school. Like, clearly this was a regular thing for this kid. Why do you think he wasn't punished? Why do you think he was treated differently? You know, it's the same thing that led to the massacre at the Parkland High School in Florida. It's because there's an attempt to stop the, quote, school-to-prison pipeline, with the assumption being that if you punish kids in school like they're adults, if you actually send them to jail for their crimes, then they'll be screwed over for life. So they say instead, we'll just punish them through the school and it'll be minor punishments. And it's all designed around this false narrative of the school to prison pipeline, when really it's just some kids are bad, some kids are criminal and are hurting other kids and should be removed so the other kids can feel safe. But because they want the crime stats to go down so they can look like they're improving, even though they're not, the crimes are still happening at an ever elevated rate. But if you don't log them, if you don't count them as crimes, if you just count them as, you know, school disciplinary actions, and it doesn't get logged in the crime book, then you can look like you're fighting crime when really all you're doing is benefiting the criminal. Do you think if a white kid comes to school with a knife, they'll be let off? Do you think they'll be let back to school the next day? If a white kid is attacking people continuously, assaulting people regularly, do you think the school is going to bend over backwards to make allowance for them? And if it did happen, do you think the school board would refuse to say anything, would refuse to acknowledge it, would refuse to discuss anything being done to combat it happening again? Our entire system in the Western world is paralyzed by this ridiculous anti-white political correctness that is becoming more and more apparent as people are talking more and more about white victims and non-white perpetrators. They got to get over this. How about you treat everybody the same and we not give benefits to black people because they have a higher incarceration rate? How about we don't try to stop the school-to-prison pipeline when the school-to-prison pipeline is appropriate because the kids are criminals and committing crimes? And of course, in Florida, it was even worse because they basically said, we're not charging anybody under 18 with crimes. So then all the gangs went and recruited high schoolers to go commit crimes for them. So it actually increased the crime rate because they knew that the kids were untouchable because they passed this law to deal with a problem that never existed. So now you've got high school students who are having to take on the initiative themselves, say, we don't feel safe at school. You let a violent, insane adult, by the way, 18 years old, to hang around our school to the point that he eventually killed somebody. And like hell, even if, like, in high school we had a kid die in a car accident, and like the school shut down for a little while to let people deal with it. In this case, they get a kid gets stabbed in the neck with scissors at school, dies at school, and they're just like, see you tomorrow for finals. Well, if we were to actually treat this, with any seriousness, we'd have to somehow confront the fact that we let black kids continually break the law and the rules and never get punished for it, and it's letting white kids be the victim, and we don't want to have to confront that, so we'll just not say anything about it and hope it goes away. Just despicable. Shameful. But we've got more. But that's not the only case from the last day. Austin Herber is a man who's now facing hate crime charges because his car was struck by a bunch of illegal aliens in a different car. Let's go to clip number two here. Austin Herber facing hate crime charges literally for being white and having crimes done against him by non-whites. Let's watch.
Lynn police responded to this crash by the intersection of Mack Todd Road and West Gannon Avenue early Sunday morning. You can see the black car is driving on the grass, loses control, and slams into the white truck. Emma Lawson says she was sitting in the passenger seat in that truck. She and her friends were leaving the bar, Smashmasters.
I woke up and there was blood all over my legs and all over my face. And after that, I don't really know what happened other than hearing that the guys were trying to flee.
Police say there were three men in that black car, and the driver left the scene before they arrived. Austin Herber, the driver of the white truck that was hit, is facing several charges, including assault, kidnapping, ethnic intimidation, and the intention to terrorize others with a gun. The owner of Smashmasters, Jessica Thompson, believes these accusations couldn't be further from the truth.
When we pulled up, there was a girl on the ground, and Austin was out of the car, instructing the two individuals that were there from the other vehicle to stay on the ground and not to leave. He did ask where they came from and who they were.
Warren say Herber struck the men who were in the black car multiple times in the head, verbally threatened and assaulted them with a handgun, quote, because of their race, color, nationality, or country of origin. Thompson is asking for clarity from the police department because she and several other witnesses say they disagree.
We never saw a gun. I never saw him hit them with a gun. The only thing I saw him do was come up to them and take them by the shoulder and tell them to get back on the ground because those individuals were trying to leave the scene.
CBS 17 News asked the Zebulon Police Department about the claims of ethnic intimidation, as well as the charge to terrorize others with a gun, but they did not provide any clarity. The police department did tell us the driver of the black car who ran away, Juan Campos, was later found and cited for failing to remain at the scene of an accident and failing to reduce to avoid a crash. We asked if speed or impaired driving was involved. That was also not addressed.
As Daniel Concannon puts it on X, this is peak anti-white system insanity. Austin Herber is facing hate crime charges for literally being white and having crimes committed against him by non-whites. Austin Herber was driving his pickup truck when he was T-boned. Three men in the car in question were presumably Latino, based on reports that the name of the driver who unlawfully fled the scene is Juan Campos. No reports, of course, on anyone's legal status. Herber, who took the full impact of the crash directly to his driver's side door, yet was miraculously mobile in the aftermath, did what he could do to hold the other two men at the scene until police arrived. For his efforts, Herber has been charged with assault, kidnapping, ethnic intimidation, which is the hate crime, you know, enhancement, intention to terrorize others with a gun. Once again, Austin Herber was the victim of an automobile crash in which the offending driver fled the scene. And those are among the nine charges faced by the white victim who was hit by the car full of non-white men who tried to run. Go ahead, read the charges again. I lack the vocabulary to effectively convey this level of lunacy. Eyewitnesses vehemently disagree with claims and charges, say they never saw Herber wield a gun. But even if Austin Herber did have a gun, why on earth should he not pistol whip these people to prevent them from fleeing the scene, as one had already done after they nearly just killed him? Put yourself in this man's shoes. You're in a vehicle at night. You're minding your own business. Another vehicle smashes into you. The driver runs. Two more men get out. You hold them at the scene until police arrived. Then you are arrested and charged with multiple hate crimes, which of course means he could be going to jail for like 20 years for being hit by a car and people fleeing and he tries to hold them. So again, I mean, we can laugh at the UK. We can laugh at, Australia being insane, but it's obviously coming here. It's obviously here already, and it's only getting worse. So, we don't have to stand for this. This isn't okay. It's not how the world should work, and you don't have to accept it, no matter what Ben Shapiro says. You can argue against this. You can actually point out the conspiracies that have been invoked to create this condition, to create this reality. You can fight back against it by conspiring yourself with your fellow white people to actually oppose what's being done and to stand up for it and to make political change to prevent this insane discrimination and hatred that we are faced with constantly. We're going to be joined by Ian Carroll in the next hour. We're going to start off the hour with a new music video from IMA, friend of the show. We're going to have to get her on to talk about this, but she's come out with a new song that's been stuck in my head for weeks, even though I've only ever listened to clips of it. We finally got the full thing, so we're going to play that at the beginning of the next hour while we get Ian Carroll in studio. We're going to cover all sorts of things, including the new app he's come out with. Stay tuned. It's going to be a very, very good final hour. But I do want to remind you, go today to thealexjonesstore.com. Not only are you taking advantage of this massive Christmas sale where you're getting up to 60% off some products, you can also be one of the first to order Ultimate Power, the energy and focus powder from thealexjonesstore.com. This is like Turbo Force Reborn energy out the wazoo. So powerful, we have to warn you not to take too much of it. Take just enough and you'll feel the power. thealexjonesstore.com.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, Saint Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. They're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.